Wolf, and Luke.
Who are you?
Okay, then.
Ron Wolfley.
Ron Wolfley. What is up? Witchbuster extraordinaire. Love that guy.
Luke Lipinski.
He sounds pretty good. He sounds pretty articulate.
Wolf and Luke. 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station.
Welcome into the show on this fine Thursday morning, live from the Ak-Chin Community Studios. Luke Lipinski alongside Ron Wolfley. Wolf, another day, another Suns win over the Utah Jazz last night.
So boring, is it not, ladies and gentlemen, to watch greatness? I will never get tired of watching greatness. It's one of the reasons why I know there are a lot of people out there that had Tom Brady fatigue and Patriots fatigue, and you didn't want to see him in the postseason. You didn't want to see him in the Super Bowl. You can't stand it. I understand that sentiment to a certain degree, but I will tell you right now, don't ever be intimidated by greatness and seeing greatness. And there are some people out there, I think you would agree, that are. I'm not saying you're one of them, Luke.
Okay? I don't like where the start of the show's
intimidated.
Going.
You're not intimidated by greatness. But there's a lot of people, let's face it, ladies and gentlemen, human beings who walk around and they compare each other. They compare themselves to other people, right? And a lot of times when you see somebody as great as Tom Brady, the greatest of all time, it makes some people feel uncomfortable. Inferior, dare I say.
I think if you're going to be one of those people that walks around comparing yourself to other people, you should have to do it out loud. Like if you walk by somebody in the grocery store, just kind of be like, yeah, I'm better than you. Enjoy your carrots or whatever you're buying.
Boy, you know what? Can you imagine the brawls in the grocery store? Can you imagine that right now? The brawls anywhere in a public setting. That'd be a little nasty, I think.
Maybe we'd all work some stuff out. We all have a lot of pent-up aggression, I think.
Kind of like going to Morgantown on a Saturday night, go down by the river basin on the end. Oh, my goodness. You want to get into a brawl? You want your face rearranged? Go on and hang out at Dr. John's down by the river in Morgantown, West Virginia.
Sounds like the least enticing invite anybody's ever given. Hey, would you like to have your face rearranged? Well, I know just the place.
Man, dude, what happened to your nose? I got a flat boot right in the face.
So, okay. So just to be clear, before we jump into Suns,
yeah.
If you want your face rearranged, go to Morgantown or Beverly Hills. Yeah. Those are the two places. But it's a totally different
what
face
do you mean,
rearrangement.
Beverly Hills?
Yeah, they rearrange your face there. It's just, it costs more.
Oh, my goodness. I can't believe I didn't pick up on that. Where's the coffee? That was good. That was actually funny. You ought to do that a little bit more.
No, that's it. I'll talk to you again tomorrow. All right, so the Suns last night, they go into Utah. They pick up the 105-97 win. Devin Booker, Wolf, just goes absolutely off in the game. 43 points, 21 in the first quarter. And this is what happens. Because, look, of all the fan bases, I would say the Utah fan base has been the most vocal about not liking Devin Booker.
Yeah.
And their media.
Yeah.
Calling him, you know, overrated. Oh, he only scores points, useless points against bad teams. I'm paraphrasing, but I don't really care if I get their quote right because it was idiotic to begin with. Last night he puts up 43 against their team, the 12 rebounds, the 4 assists. He was just, we saw not the only blueprint for the Suns to win, but we really saw like the one they've kind of ridden a lot lately of Booker just goes out there, is great, gets a little bit of rest in the fourth quarter. Chris Paul just closes it out, basically.
Yeah. Man, where do you begin on this one right here? Speaking of greatness, will you ever get tired of greatness, Basinonians? Will you ever get tired of seeing it, the execution, especially down the stretch once again? It was there for all to see. The Phoenix Suns won a game again down the stretch. What's amazing about it, you mentioned Devin Booker. Let's start there. By virtue of his play, Devin Booker basically told the Jazz and everyone in that arena to sit down and shut up. I mean, he seized control of this game from the very first quarter. Did you look at his first quarter numbers, by the way?
Yeah,
21 points in 12 minutes. 8 of 11 from the floor. He had 6 boards and 4 assists. We're talking about the first quarter.
Yeah.
He was absolute fire and came out and set the tone for the Suns.
And he was talking to some fans. I mean, I like this version of Devin Booker of the, hey, the other fan base doesn't know what they're talking about, apparently, so they're just going to infuriate Devin Booker, and he goes out there and plays like that. it's not just the 43 points. It's 43 points on 28 shots, too. So it's efficient. It's not, you know, it's not a lot of wasted trips down the floor where he's just firing up shots. And he had a little bit of a lull with like the late third, early fourth, where he wasn't hitting a ton. But at the end of the game when he needed to, he did again. And you can kind of have a lull when Chris Paul is putting up 15 in the fourth quarter again.
Yeah, you know what? Also, too, here's what happened. The second quarter, I thought the Jazz made a concerted effort to get a little chippy with Devin Booker. I don't know if you noticed this or not. I don't know if it was just the crowd, but it was also the players as well. Whiteside was one of them, getting a little chippy with Devin Booker. And I love to see this, Basinonians, because that's what happens when you compete. When you compete, this is what happens. And you do well like Devin Booker, where you're blowing it up right now. You know what you start doing as a coach? You start poking and prodding that guy. Trying to see, okay, what can we get him off his game? Can we do something to upset him right here? And that's what I thought Utah was doing to Devin Booker in that second quarter specifically. And he responded once again. He responded. This is something. Don't poke the tiger. And you've heard that old saying right there. This is something that I think Devin Booker needs to continue to develop with his game. It was like Lawrence Taylor, leave him alone. Shut up. Don't even look at him. Don't you say a word to him. Don't put him on edge. Devin Booker, I can see Devin Booker growing into this role.
It's a good side of it. I was just going to say, we almost just said the exact same thing. That to me is one of the most Kobe aspects of his game. And I don't know that anybody, maybe Jordan, was better at that aspect than Kobe Bryant. But yeah, go ahead and tell... Go ahead and tell him he's not as good as everybody around here is saying he is, and he'll put 43 on you and 21 of them in the first quarter. And here's the thing, Wolf. Like, the Suns were playing shorthanded last night. The Jazz were playing shorthanded last night. And that's just where we are right now. That's just the reality of this season. But right now, Utah's the 4 seed in the West. Everything's not going to go chalk in the playoffs. But right now, I mean, that would be a second-round matchup. And that's a matchup that we all kind of anticipated we would get last year, and then Utah didn't hold up their end of the bargain. But there's a very real possibility we see the Suns and Jazz play at some point in these playoffs. And I'm looking forward to the back and forth between Devin Booker and Donovan Mitchell. But last night at least gives you a little bit of a sense of how Booker's going to respond in that environment with that crowd. In fact, he talked about it after the game.
I have fun with it. You know, like I said, you always see a smile on my face. You know, usually...
Smile when I got the tick.
Yeah, I was smiling when I got the tick, too. Yeah, I got a tech. I got a tech for saying I got hit on the arm, but you know I always enjoy it. Utah fans tend to dislike me on social media, but today I found some new love. Man, I seen a lot of Phoenix Suns jerseys in there. I had good conversations with some Utah fans courtside, so you know it was a fun night.
So that was CP3.
That was Chris Paul saying,
right there, right?
Were you smiling when you got
smiling?
The tech?
Yeah, when he got the tech right there. That was really interesting.
Did you see, by the way?
CD book get teed up like that. You know what? Like I said, listen, my young crunk brothers, you always take the high road. Always be classy. But just because you tap into the rage train, your intensity level might be a little high when you go out and you compete, especially when you do it on the road. You know, there's going to be an outburst from time to time. That will happen. I like the fact that Devin Booker does have some intensity about his game. I love that. That's a plus.
I like the fact that the press conferences now have become one player needling another one while they're getting asked questions. Did you see, by the way, Chris Paul towards the fourth quarter when they called the foul on him with Jordan Clarkson? And he couldn't, like, the ref wasn't listening to him, so he just went up to Jordan Clarkson and was like, did I foul you?
Yeah.
I saw
that. That was awesome. That was so funny right there. But, you know, again, Devin Booker, this is what he needs to cultivate and continue to grow. He is the filter. He plays the game of basketball, but he is the filter, man, and he needs to continue to grow and develop as a man and a player. That's the way that it happens. When you're 22, you're not the same guy as you are when you're 27. And when you're 27, you may not be the same guy that you are when you're 32. And how you filter and how you process the game of basketball is going to continue to develop and change. D-Book is doing that before our very eyes.
Coming up, there's finally been some movement with the NFL head coaching vacancies. I'm pretty sure Jacksonville's tried to hire three coaches. We'll give you the latest next. It's the Wolf and Luke Show on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
A middle seat in coach. A first-class reclining suite with bottle service. Wolf and Luke.
All right, we're finally starting to get some of these NFL teams hiring coaches. Wolf, finally, a couple teams have taken their names off the list. Chicago Bears hiring Matt Eberflus from Indianapolis. So the Bears have their guy. And Denver getting Nathaniel Hackett. And this is one that when we were referencing that Jordan Schultz tweet yesterday about how Denver would be interested in getting Aaron Rodgers and Davante Adams, who wouldn't, but he specifically said Denver, he followed it up by saying something about Nathaniel Hackett being a potential connection, and then today they went out and hired him. So doesn't mean they're getting Aaron Rodgers, but I do wonder if the odds have shifted. I'll look at that during the break as to where he's most likely to play next year. Remember yesterday we looked, the Packers were favored, the Broncos were a close second, and then Pittsburgh was actually third. If the Broncos were going to get Aaron Rodgers, this seems like a logical step along the way.
Yeah, no, there's no doubt about it. Where do you begin on these first two hires? How about this, Basinonians? The Bears, who had a offensive coach, went defense.
Yeah.
And, of course, the Broncos, who had a defensive coach, went offensive. I you know, this is the way that it works right here in the National Football League for the most part. Matt Eberflus, I absolutely love the hire of Matt Eberflus. I think he's a gifted defensive coordinator. Will he be a gifted head coach? I don't know, brothers. I really do not. Time will tell on that one right there. Nathaniel Hackett is so interesting, and the reasons why are very obvious. He's been the Green Bay Packers offensive coordinator since 2019.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I remember when earlier in the season, I think it was actually when the Cardinals were playing the Bears, you and I were talking about potential landing spots for Vance Joseph if he got a head coaching job. And the one that popped out to us was Chicago. And it wasn't just because they were playing Chicago that week. It was because it's Chicago. Their identity, yes, traditionally and in that weather and especially late in the season would be defense. So I know you're saying these teams sort of flip. Chicago had an offensive mind, now they go defense. If I'm Chicago, I'm just hiring defense all the time. Denver, I feel like, needed to flip to offense because their defensive mindset is fine. But I think in that division, you just sort of have to realize you're going to have to outscore the Chargers and the Chiefs and even the Raiders to a certain extent. I don't know that you're going to be able to get it done with just a defensive mindset, and you need Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, I think this is just me, but I think more than anything else, with the Bronco hire right there, they know they need a quarterback.
Yep.
And that's why they hired Nathaniel Hackett as well. They know they needed a quarterback. You want an offensive-minded coach to go ahead and work with that new quarterback. I think that was the reasoning behind that right there. The Bears, they already have. They already have their young quarterback in Justin Fields, and you've got to develop Justin Fields. And now what do you say we bring in a defensive-minded coach that might be able to actually help this young quarterback develop? But this is our quarterback. Justin Fields is our guy. We've got to develop him. So now it's going to be really important who Matt goes out and actually hires to come in and coach Justin Fields.
With the Hackett hire, this is Mike Garofolo talking about why the Broncos decided to go down that path.
The Broncos closed it out and said Nathaniel Hackett is our guy, and maybe that guy, number 12, will be our guy at quarterback. We shall see what the future holds. Obviously, there is interest on Denver's end. Should Aaron Rodgers want to leave Green Bay, we will see about all of that. But I'll say this. The Broncos are hiring Nathaniel Hackett because they like Nathaniel Hackett. They like his energy. They like his smarts. They like everything that they've heard about him. And Aaron Rodgers has not been shy about picking up the phone. Peter Schrager mentioned last hour he called the Falcons and said, last year, this is the guy that you should hire. Rodgers has gushed about Hackett publicly as as well. So the Broncos are hiring Hackett because they think they got themselves a great head coach. If they get Aaron Rodgers on top of that, that is great. I'll give you one more note here about Hackett and the Broncos. According to me and Ian Rappaport, sources tell us, a name to watch for defensive coordinator is Rams pass game coordinator Ejiro Evero. Now, coincidentally, Evero almost got the Packers defensive coordinator job last year, but that wound up not being the case. Wound up being Barry, who we just showed there. So Evero, a strong candidate and a name to watch for defensive coordinator in Denver on Nathaniel Hackett's staff.
Okay. Wolf, I think you just said it, though, right before I played that clip. Denver knows they need a quarterback. So whether that means they get Aaron Rodgers or that means they get Russell Wilson or whoever, it sort of ties back into our conversation yesterday of most of the either already established quarterbacks or potentially great young quarterbacks are in the AFC. And over in the NFC, if the Russell Wilson, Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, if even two of those three leave, the quarterback landscape in the NFC is wide open for a guy like Kyler Murray, maybe above anybody. You got to figure Denver's going all in on one of those guys.
You got to figure right now, honestly. I cannot help it, ladies and gentlemen. This hire changed my mind. When you go out and you hire the offensive coordinator for the Green Bay Packers, and the rumor was out there, and we were talking about this yesterday, but Mark Schlereth actually tweeted it out that he tweeted out that a deal was done for Aaron Rodgers. I mean, once again, somebody inside that Denver Bronco organization tipped him off on that. Somebody that he knows would know, somebody that he trusted, and I think it blew up that deal. I really do. Having said that, where there's smoke, there's fire. You know the saying, and I believe that. And I think that Aaron Rodgers is on his way to the Denver Broncos. That's my guess. We'll see.
Taking Devontae with him or no?
You know, I don't think so.
Denver's got receiver. I mean, they're not. None of them are Devontae Adams, but if I'm Denver, like, yeah, if we can get Devontae Adams at a discount, which you're not going to, then sure. But they've got Cortland Sutton and Jerry Jeudy and Tim Patrick. Like, they do have receivers. They've got a defense. What they need is a quarterback.
And the Broncos actually have the draft capital that it's going to take to pull this thing off. Mm-hmm. Jordan Love is going to get the opportunity up there in Green Bay, and now you'll take Brian Gutekunst. And he will take these picks, whatever Denver is willing to send. And to me, I think it's got to be two first-round picks and some change in 2023 and 2024.
Yeah.
Change. Fourth-round pick. Fifth-round pick. Maybe even a third. I think you got to throw in some change. But I think two number ones will do it. And the only reason why I say that and not three number ones is because of Aaron Rodgers' age.
Yeah. Yeah,
that has got to be a consideration right there.
Also, he's been very, maybe behind the scenes, he's not so wishy-washy on it. But I'm not trading a ton of first-round picks for a guy that's like, I'm not sure I'm going to keep playing this year. Because, okay, if I'm trading the picks, I'm going to play this year. But am I going to have to go through that next year and the year after?
Yeah, before they actually do that, they're going to get a commitment from Aaron Rodgers. Yeah,
I don't doubt that they will. But then what happens when he's on the Pat McAfee show in 15 months? Like, I've decided to open up my own farm.
Yeah, right.
Like, I want some guarantees if I'm trading those picks. Now, Jacksonville. So they've been linked to Byron Leftwich. Adam Schefter has also tweeted that, but he, in addition, has tweeted Vic Fangio is a possibility for Jacksonville. He just tweeted about a minute ago that the Saints have requested permission to interview Byron Leftwich for their head coaching job. So Byron Leftwich is a pretty hot commodity right now. And also, Mike Drecke tweeted out earlier, he's hearing the Jaguars could be hiring not only Byron Leftwich, but Adrian Wilson as their GM,
too. Wow, hey, Dub. Oh, man, you know that's going to happen at some point in time, no doubt about it. Adrian Wilson.
That'd be pretty cool if that happened. Adrian Wilson as the GM of Jacksonville, Byron Leftwich gets to go work with Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah.
That's not bad.
Well, and that and the fact, of course, he's going to get to work closely with A-Dub as well.
Yeah.
These guys know each other, like each other. Yeah, that would be something that'd be copacetic, no doubt about that. I could see that happening. Sean Payton and what's going on with Sean Payton is still a question mark with me. This is a fascinating story. We've been talking about it over the last 48 hours, but Sean Payton and where Sean Payton might go, where he might end up. To me, I honestly, I don't believe the fact that he's not going to coach in 2022. And I think it's one of the reasons why he said, my plan is to not coach in 2022. Because he was trying to qualify the fact that if the right deal actually presents itself, I'm gone. You were talking about this yesterday as well, and I agree with this take. But I think Sean Payton is a guy that is still out there and very, very active, even though he wants everyone to believe he's not going to coach in 2022. I think he's looking for a quarterback that he knows he can work with and a team that has a good cap situation, unlike what he has right now, which is a mess down in New Orleans.
Yeah.
$74 million over the cap.
How does that happen? That's like not paying your bills for 3 years.
$74 million over the cap, and they're in all sorts of cap crud, so to speak. So, yeah, you know what? I think Sean Payton, too, is going to impact some of these hires, but it's starting to shake loose. Isn't that interesting? After 48 hours of Sean Payton actually being out there, phone calls being made, now all of a sudden it's starting to shake loose,
yeah,
isn't it?
Now you're starting to see more and more teams scrambling and actually hiring coaches, which certainly looks like they were waiting to call Sean Payton, and he's like, nope, sorry, I'm not coming. Look, if he's not going to go coach Denver, although Denver may have been separate, they may have specifically wanted Hackett because A, I'm assuming they believe he can do what he, you know, what they're hiring. You're not going to hire a coach that you don't believe in just because you might get a quarterback, because then you're stuck with that coach if you don't get the quarterback. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see if by the time we come back, let's say on Monday, I know today's not Friday, but by like Monday, if like almost all of these vacancies are filled or like six of them are filled or something. Text us your thoughts to the FanDuel text line at 620-620 right now. Coming up next, Cardinals have quite a few high-profile players set to be free agents. Which ones should they bring back? And one side is predicting how much each of them will cost. We'll get into that next. It's the Wolf and Luke Show on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Wolf and Luke Middays, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Every conversation we have had about the Cardinals looking ahead to the offseason, Wolf, has been sort of has been the asterisk next to it of, okay, well, yeah, would you bring back James Conner? Sure, but we don't know how much it's going to cost. With Chandler Jones? Yeah, sure, but we don't know how much he's going to cost. And we still don't know how much any of those guys are actually going to cost. But Pro Football Focus did their projections on free agent values a couple days ago, and Kyle Odegaard tweeted out some of the main ones for the Cardinals yesterday. And I'm just going to read the seven he tweeted out, actually, because these are, I think, the biggest names that we've been looking at anyway, okay? I'm going to read out the names and then what Pro Football Focus projects their value to be for next year.
Okay.
Can you tell me if any of these are, like, way too high? Like, there's no way you would pay it? Or I'm, like, running to the table to sign the contract because there's one I'd get the deal done like instantly if this is all he costs. So we'll start Robert Alford, $5 million.
Ooh boy, Robert Alford for $5 million. Let's see, what did he make last year? He made the minimum,
yep,
which is just around $1 million. So a Robert Alford playing in 13 games in 2021, that bodes well. But we all know in 2019 and 2020 he missed both those seasons, mm-hmm, right there. And you can definitely say that Robert Alford made a huge difference when he was healthy and he was playing for the Arizona Cardinals.
Oh, he was really good.
He made a huge difference. He was everything that I thought he was going to be. An excellent corner, a guy that is a pro, a guy that is one of the best 32 corners in the National Football League and deserves to be a starter. So I was really happy with Robert Alford. $5 million, though, I got to tell you, I'm a little surprised at that.
That seems high.
That seems high, doesn't it?
Because
especially for a guy who's 33. Now, again, corners can actually play into their mid-30s. Isn't that right, Champ Bailey? We have seen this over and over. Corners getting a little long in the tooth that have done a very good job taking care of their body and still can go out and play. So I'm not saying that. I wouldn't, you know what, I just think that's high.
It seems high.
I guess.
His base salary last year was $990,000. And I'm not saying.
So right about a million.
Yeah. So I'm not saying that he, like, I wouldn't like to have Robert Alford back, but man, I mean, he ended the season hurt too. So I do just wonder if teams are really going to throw $5 million at him.
Yeah. I don't know if that's going to be the case. I would be so interested in Robert Alford if I had a base salary around $3 million, $2 million, $3 million, somewhere around there, and incentives for how many games he actually plays.
Oh, if I were a GM, like, everybody would have so many incentives on their contract that if we won the Super Bowl, we'd probably go bankrupt.
Right.
Everybody exactly. would have
the
incentives.
The problem is a lot of players would say no.
Oh, yeah.
Forget about the incentives. Okay, I don't think Robert Alford would do that. I think he totally would understand. He came back and played for the minimum because he felt obligated to the team
yeah.
based on the fact they paid him the money they did in 2020 and 2021. I mean, think about that.
That's rare.
That is a guy with a conscience.
Yeah. Now, to be fair, though, if some team did throw $5 million at him, if I were Robert Alford, I would absolutely be taking it because there's no guarantees in the NFL, and he knows that better than anybody, having missed two full seasons out of the last three and then some games at the end of last season. Okay, here's a few more of these. Chase Edmonds at $6
million. Yeah, Chase Edmonds at $6 million. I would be able to do that if, in fact, I could see some of the other cap numbers. It doesn't sound egregious to me at all. It doesn't. Chase Edmonds is a leader. He's a coach on the field. He's super smart. He's an excellent player. He does get banged up from time to time because he plays really, really hard. He's an excellent football player. $6 million. Yeah, I'd be okay with that.
I think that that's probably – that one seems a little more in the range of what he's going to get. So since we talked about Chase Edmonds, James Conner, and this is the one that really stood out to me, only $6.4 million.
Yeah, that one right there. I know, you know, 6.4, I thought 8. Remember, I was talking about this the other day. I thought $8 million would get it done.
And it would.
I still think that is low. 6.4. I know he turns 27 in May, but still, think about it. You could sign him to a 3-year deal and still be okay with that.
There's just not a lot of running backs out there, as we've detailed in the past. I mean, if you need a running back, you're either going to draft one, or it's going to be, to me at least, the two big names out there are James Conner and Leonard Fournette. Those are the two running backs if you're whatever team that needs a running back, and you're like, hey, we got to get somebody. Baltimore, who we talked about the other day, like, James Conner would make a lot of sense. So would Leonard Fournette, honestly, for Baltimore. Just any active running back would make a lot of sense for Baltimore. Here's another one, though, for you, Wolf. Chandler Jones, $16.8 million.
Wow, 16.8 right there. You know, honestly, I think somebody's going to give him that.
Man, well, I think somebody's going to be the Cardinals.
I think somebody's going to give him $16, $17 million somewhere in there. Maybe a 2-year contract, maybe an incentive laced 2-year contract as well. I do believe somebody out there is going to give Chandler Jones the opportunity to prove that he can still play ball out and then reward him for that. I just don't know if it's going to be the Cardinals.
That's going to be such a tough one because I don't know if the Cardinals, and again, this isn't like a set number, but if this were the number, if it was right around there, I don't know how they can afford that and make other improvements they need to make. But the flip side is I don't think we fully appreciate this season, the impact Chandler Jones was, the positive impact he was having on their defense. Everybody just looks and says, oh, only 5.5 sacks after week one. Okay, he did other things, though. if he's not out there, it's going to be very noticeable that you don't have Chandler Jones. And what happens if you don't have Chandler Jones and then J.J. Watt gets hurt next year? Is your pass rush is just Marcus Golden, basically?
Yeah, well, once again, if you did not sign Chandler Jones, if you did not re-up him as a free agent, I'm sure you're looking at the free agent market and you're bringing somebody in. Hassan Reddick comes to mind immediately. I think that would be somebody that you'd be interested in speaking to.
That'd be weird, bringing Hassan Reddick back after just 1 year.
Yeah.
He had a pretty good year.
Well, you know, it'd be great to bring him back in because he could sit there and talk to Zaven Collins about, no, you don't want to go to outside linebacker. You don't want to do that. Stay right where you are, please.
He would be a good guy to talk to him about that. How about Christian Kirk for $11.7
million? Yeah, you know, I love Christian Kirk. I really do. I have to look at some of the other positions. how much cap space you actually have right now, how much cap space Steve Keim and the Cardinals can actually create before the free agent period. That's going to be interesting as well. That seems a little high for Christian Kirk based on not only, I would have to say, the season 2 years ago really kind of bothered me. I have to tell you. I mean, honestly. And then
where he started strong and then just disappeared.
And it was kind of similar this season to some degree.
Yeah.
Not nearly as pronounced, but a little bit similar as well. And, man, you know what? Just the last two second halves of seasons right now, not only for Christian Kirk, but for the Arizona Cardinals overall, it's put a sour taste in my mouth. I love Christian Kirk. If they can sign him and bring him back, I'd love for that to happen. I just don't think it's going to be at $12 million a year.
Yeah, I would agree with that too because of the position. You know, there were games early this season when the Cardinals were winning games. He was absolutely huge on third and fourth down, and he was again when DeAndre Hopkins was there. He seemed to be open a lot more. If you're just telling me, hey, do you want to keep Christian Kirk? If you're asking me that question, yeah, absolutely. If you're telling me I got to pay him $11 or $12 million, I think I can get other receivers for less than that because it's not like this team is one receiver away from winning the Super Bowl.
Right.
They've got some stuff they have to address. We'll get into some more of these later on in the show, but mainly Chandler Jones and James Conner were the two that stood out because I feel like Conner, that's I'd definitely be willing to pay that, and Chandler's price on there is a little bit higher than I think the Suns or the Cardinals can afford. Coming up, how aggressive will the Suns be at the NBA trade deadline? You're going to hear James Jones answer to that question next. It's the Wolf and Luke Show on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Leather jacket, cashmere sweater. Wolf and Luke middays, 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station.
We should throw this out there before we get back into the NBA. Ian Rappaport tweeting out a list of names that are going to get a second interview for the Dolphins. And Vance Joseph not on that list.
Mm.
I don't know if that means he has no chance, but the tweet says, among the names expected to receive second interviews from the Dolphins, Kellen Moore, Mike McDaniel, Brian Daboll.
Wow, okay. Kellen Moore, offensive guy. Brian Daboll, offensive guy.
Mike McDaniel.
Mike McDaniel, offensive guy. Three
yep.
offensive guys right there. Tua.
Yep.
Or a quarterback soon to be, not Tua.
Russell Wilson.
I'm
really trying to get him moved
Man.
To a different conference.
Honestly, if in fact there was a defensive coach that was included in that,
yeah.
I might think that, well, listen, they know Vance
yeah,
really, really well, right?
Yeah.
So they don't need to bring him in and actually have a second interview with him. They know him. They have personal, firsthand experience with him. But the fact that all three are offensive guys.
What were you going to say?
There was a tweet from Cameron Wolf. He says, one thing I've been told to watch whenever the Dolphins officially hire their new coach, they would like to keep most of their defensive assistant coaching staff. They feel they are close on that side of the ball and have spoken with candidates about that.
Huh.
So okay. Maybe they go offensive just so that they don't have to hire
a bunch of new defensive guys.
Because I would think a defensive head coach would want to bring in his own assistance, at least on the defensive side of the ball, wouldn't you think?
Oh yeah, definitely. Boy, that is interesting right there. Yeah, it makes me think more and more that it's going to be an offensive guy.
Yeah,
down in Miami,
which I know for Cardinals fans were all frustrated at the end of the season, and trust me, I was right there with you. But Vance Joseph coming back as your DC is a good thing for the Cardinals.
There's no doubt about it. And as soon as you say that, the first two guys I think of: Zaven Collins, Isaiah Simmons.
Mm-hmm.
Going to be in the same defense, boys. Same defense with the same coordinator. I feel badly for Vance because I know that at some point in time he's going to be another head coach. But, man, right now, for me, this is good news for the Cardinals.
The NBA trade deadline is 2 weeks from today. And James Jones was on with Burns and Gambo yesterday. And they asked him about just his thoughts on that. Or 2 weeks away, you know, there's been this this theory out there, hey, Golden State added Klay Thompson midseason. I think James Wiseman is coming back at some point. I mean, the guy's been on IR, feels like forever. But either way, Golden State is getting noticeably, tangibly, they're adding pieces during the season. So do the Suns have to do that too? I mean, the Suns are getting better, but do they have to add actual pieces? This was James Jones and his thoughts on that yesterday.
I mean, I always love that question. People are always like, how aggressive will you be at the trade deadline? And how aggressive will you? And I'm always the same. I like my team. I like what we have. If opportunities come to improve my team, I'll look at them. But every team's trying to do the same thing at the trade deadline. So unless you're catching someone who absolutely does not want to compete, you're really talking about lateral moves. And, you know, I trust our continuity and our flow.
Man, I love that right there. That honestly is a player's mentality. It is. That is the way a player thinks. Hey, coach, let me get better. You know what? I'll get better. I know the system. I know exactly what it is that you want. I know the chemistry. I know the culture of this place. Just let me get better. I can get better. I'm not a finished product. That happens with young guys. That happens with veterans. But that's such a player mentality right there that, you know what, I like our team. And he's been pretty consistent on this since he showed up as a general manager.
Yeah,
very, very consistent.
And they are getting better. I mean, that's the other thing. It's one thing if it's like, hey, I think my guys are going to get better and they're in a 7-game losing streak and they clearly need some sort of jump start or they're missing something. We could all look at the Suns and nitpick and say, okay, maybe I'd like to add this or I'd like to add that. You know, they got to be realistic pieces. You're not adding an all-star. But also, you got to be realistic and look at the Suns and say, do they really need anything? It feels like every team in the league needs something more than the Suns right now, maybe because they're 38-9.
Yeah, they're 38-9. Maybe that's it right
there. Maybe that's it right
there. Let's see. Does anyone have a better record than the Phoenix Suns?
No,
of course not. Yeah, so that'll do it, Luke, right there.
Nobody's even really close to
it. Doesn't make you desperate. What do we have to do? You're winning games without DeAndre Ayton. I mean, you're winning games. When D Book goes down, you're winning games. It's truly amazing the depth that James Jones has actually established on this team. And for me, I think chemistry is so important. I think the culture is so important. Lateral moves, I wouldn't do it either, James.
Well, the other thing, too, with the Suns, I mean, you're now at the point where we could play that card of, well, you know, they're really adding DeAndre Ayton at the trade deadline because he has missed, 19 games already this season.
Man.
He's missed 19 of the 47 games. He's played 28. So you could go down that path, sort of like Golden State. I mean, they added Klay Thompson midseason. He hadn't played in 2 years, so they've added him. Yes, he was already with them, but they actually added him. Whenever DA comes back, you're kind of adding him. You know, they have already gone out and added Bismack Biyombo, and they've made their minor moves that turn into something. Like Torrey Craig last year, remember when they made that trade? It was like, oh yeah, the Suns are the third team in some trade. They're getting a Torrey Craig or something.
Right.
He was when he was out there, he was pretty impactful.
Yeah. No, honestly, right now, I would not do anything. I would not mess with the culture of this team. And, you know, I mean, if you're talking about a depth spot, Landry Shamet has really struggled. I don't know if you've noticed his space. I don't need it right now, but Landry Shamet has had a bad year.
Yeah, he hasn't really. You're not asking him to do a ton, so his stats aren't going to be amazing, but it's clicked for JaVale McGee with the Suns, I would say, better than Shamet.
Yeah, no, no doubt about that. JaVale McGee also, too, that COVID thing really set him back. There's no doubt. It set him back, and he appears to be, hopefully, over the COVID thing, but now he's got to get healthy, getting a little banged up. JaVale McGee, the Suns are going to need
JaVale McGee.
That's right, JaVale McGee. At some point in time, they're going to need him in the postseason in a big, big way.
More from James Jones, focused on his current players, not hypothetical players.
I'm focused on our guys and how we can improve internally. But I'll always say, like this, the team I assemble in the summer is the team that I believe in. And the longer we play together, the better we are.
Again, he's been consistent. You know, we've all seen or heard GMs, not necessarily with the Suns, but just any team that you follow that maybe isn't local or whatever, even some that have been local, quite honestly, where your GM's saying one thing one year, and then the next year he's completely flipping, and then the next year it's a completely different philosophy, and then the fourth year he goes back to year one. James Jones has been consistent, and I know it's easier to be consistent when you're winning, but it's also easier to win when you're being consistent. Look at that philosophy I just threw out there.
Just, honestly, this brilliance comes to you from time to time, yeah. And it's like a frying pan in the face.
Yeah, how do you think I feel?
Because the juxtaposition is so obvious.
It is. It's like Will Ferrell in Old School. Blacked out for a second. I don't even know what I said.
That's awesome, man. But honestly, yeah, I'm not going to do anything. Isn't it a great feeling, Basinonians, to be able to say that and mean it?
Yeah. I'm good where I am.
You know, there's a lot of people out there that would love to see him tinker with some of the depth on this roster. I honestly, to me, I think there are guys that fit in so well with the culture and the chemistry. I don't think you'd want to do that. Even the backups, even guys that are three deep. There's a reason why the Suns right now are 38-9. There's a reason why that is, and it's not by happenstance.
There's one more from James Jones talking about signing players just to take players from other teams.
No, not at all. I mean, I can't forecast what people will do. In many of these situations, at the buyout deadline, you see a lot of names and not a lot of game. If a player is really good and can help you, I find it hard to think that competitive teams let them go. So you have to find the right mix of players. And then in that situation, those guys determine where they go. So we try to focus, and I try to focus on the things that I can control for our team, and try to make sure when I do make those decisions that we can control, I make the best decision possible.
There it is, the right mix of players. The right mix of players. How important is that? Man, I love it. The fact that the Phoenix Suns have a general manager that thinks like a player is an awesome, awesome thing.
It's a pretty good indicator of why they are where they are right now as well. 8 wins in a row, 38-9, 3.5 games up on the next closest team. You know, last year it was an amazing run. Okay, you're going to maybe catch Utah. You're going back and forth with Utah and a couple other teams for the best record in basketball. They're 3.5 games up on Golden State. Nobody else is even close behind Golden State. Yep. They are running away with this right now. We're just past the halfway point. They have a 3.5 game lead over the next closest team. And like Utah last night, Utah, the team that finished ahead of them last season. Yes, Utah's missing players right now, but they haven't been missing them all year. Suns are 9 games up on Utah right now. You realize that? Like Utah's not catching the Phoenix Suns this year. It's going to be Golden State or nobody. And right now it's looking more and more like it's going to be nobody. All right, coming up next, we're going to react one last time to the games over the weekend because of who's going to join us, and we're going to look ahead to the conference championship games with former NFL linebacker Lorenzo Alexander. The Lowdown starts next. It's the Wolf and Luke Show on 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station.